It's the 120 podcast, Mikey Fernelli alongside Ben Hootie. We're coming at you hoping not to strike out like Javi Baez did four times last night as he took his return to Wrigley Field. Ben, how are we doing out there at Illinois State University, back on the prowl?
I know I'm back. We have done an episode here before, so this isn't the
No,
first
you have.
time
You
in
have.
this
Fair
setup.
enough.
But yeah, back at school, I'm officially taking over Mikey's job at the radio station, that old fart. Washed, whatever. No, I'm kidding.
Very.
But yeah, it's been good to be back. It's gonna be about over a week now, and this is our first week of classes. So just kind of getting back into the adjustment of things. It's my last dance here, so gotta enjoy every moment possible, and I certainly have been so far. So it's been a lot of fun.
I think wash is the wrong term. I think it's lack thereof of washing right now or shaving, bathing.
That was the first thing for the first thing that I said when we hopped on the Zoom together. I was like, oh, my beard, like
Yeah,
Fernelli.
one
It
of my
looks good
biggest.
though. I think it looks good personally.
Thank you.
Some
One of
other
my
people might
biggest
not, but
podcast inspirations is Smartless, which is hosted by Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. And they interview their friends and celebrity friends and things like that. It's just a good time. And they did a live show on camera recently, and it was their first time doing that in a year or two. And usually it's just audio only. And all the comments were talking about how Jason Bateman, who most people know as, a pretty clean shaven, like straight man actor, is prepping for a role. And he always talks about it on the podcast, but he hasn't shown his face. He's got like the biggest Santa beard right now and like long brown hair. Like
gray.
you can't even recognize him. Yeah. No, not gray,
Oh,
like
okay.
brown still, but like just like a long beard. Like you can barely recognize him. And that's probably been how Ben felt when he hopped on here today.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen pictures and videos and whatnot because we still keep in touch, obviously, but I sometimes it just kind of blows over my head when you're sitting with someone face to face. It was kind of unexpected, so but I think it looks good.
Thank you. I remember our first Z&D meeting of last year. You and I were joking, saying, I think even put it on Twitter, like, this is my first time seeing Ben outside of like a little Zoom box in like months. And that's how
Yeah.
it's gonna be now for the podcast for a little bit. Except I might see you tomorrow, actually, by the time this
Yeah,
releases.
right.
I'm ending on ISU, but for the night for different reasons. But we'll still see each other when we can. I mean, Ben's taking over the gig, so let's get to the Chicago Cubs baseball team. Currently in second place in the NL Central, sole second place, 11 and a half games out of that division, but then 5 and a half games out of the National League wildcard. Ben, one random point early on, not the point I was talking about before we started recording, something else. Do you feel generally this baseball season has kind of just flew by?
I go back to what my dad said, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but he was like, after the Sox were on pace to become the worst team in baseball in June already, and the Cubs had their complete free fall, it kind of feels like baseball season's been over for months because I feel like this is the first time, and it might be because of the Bears hype, especially because I don't think
Yeah.
there's ever been Bears hype elevated to this level.
On a national stage, no.
National too, where it's like it's not the summer of baseball in Chicago, it's really the summer of Bears. In terms of when you say baseball season in general flying by, I think this has been it's felt pretty quick, and I know we're going to talk more about it, but yeah, it's definitely feels like it's flying by. I mean, what we got a little over a month left
Yeah,
until
35 games.
postseason ball, so
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, 30, 35-ish games by the time this comes out. So, yeah, I agree. I think there's something to be said for just like the city not being really in it. I've been excited for this season, as I know you have and many have. But yeah, it feels like maybe this is year two of us doing the podcast and stuff, and we've had a lot of personal movement with you taking over the radio job and me graduating, things like that. But like the Cubs season, I feel like has flew by. Like I think back to where the Cubs were this time last year, and I'm like, I can't believe that's already a year ago. Which brings me into my next point. And I know we discussed that we wanted this to be a big talking point this episode. Where are we on this morale right now with a team that could potentially be playoff bound versus where we were a year ago? And how does that affect with the expectations coming into this year? And how should Cubs fans feel right now, Ben?
I think you probably will have a different answer than me. I think when we talked about it before, and it was like you kind of were saying, why isn't the team really garnering as much hype when they're kind of on a pretty solid run over the last month and a half? And I think the big reason is because last year, going into August, they were still kind of out of it and towards the end of July, right?
Yeah.
But they went on that 9-game winning streak, and that pulled everybody in with so many great moments across that 9-game winning streak too, like the Talkman catch. And then I think the winning streak ended up getting snapped. And then they, like a week later, they were playing the Crosstown Classic pretty deep in August, maybe potentially, if I'm not mistaken. And Morel hits a home run, and it's like people were buying in. And this run, it just feels like they're finally about to get momentum and like, hey, maybe here comes a win streak. For example, like this weekend, it was like, holy crap, 2 games against the Blue Jays, which is a team I would say that's kind of similar to where the Cubs are at right now. They could go for the sweep on Sunday. What do they end up getting, like 2 hits and get shut out in a 1-run game?
One
Like,
nothing, yeah.
then it just like deflates everything. So honestly, I'm not like, it's I as much as disappointing as the season has been, I do like where the team is at heading into next year. Like I'm almost starting to feel better about next year just because of the fact of, yes, the team is not at all what we wanted it to be or expected it to be because of that June free fall, that May June free fall. But I'm liking what I'm seeing out of players. I mean, the pitching staff, and especially Justin Steele and Shota, have just been phenomenal. And the fact that you get to go back into next year with those pair of aces just feels really good. I love what I'm seeing out of the rookies, like Michael Bush and PCA. Like I think I mentioned in our last episode, but that's been like the thing that like has just been like really nice for me to see personally, that they Bush has been pretty good all season long, but especially PCA's turnaround. Like he's been a really, really solid player over the last month and a half. And I don't think enough people realize that because the stats still don't look as good because of how bad of a start his career got off to, but he still hasn't gotten caught stealing yet. He's played phenomenal defense, and the bat is only getting better. So it's just, as much as the season was disappointing, I really like the direction they're headed into for next year.
Yeah, looking over August, it was a lot of these just instances where, as you mentioned, Ben, no like crazy win streak that kind of pulls you back in, but just winning series again, like playing winning baseball, making you think where they could be if they didn't have that complete free fall, because you're playing winning baseball, you're getting the Cardinals in 3 out of 4, you're getting the Twins in 2 out of 3, sweeping the worst team in baseball history, then you're getting swept by Cleveland to for your first technical sweep of the year.
I do have another point I want to say. I think another reason why, and it's crazy because you were talking about this before we went on, the Jeff Passan tweet that came out about how the MLB is so wide open this year. There might not be, I think it was since 2012, the first time everyone's on pace for under 100 wins. Every team in Major Baseball is on pace for under 100 wins. So it's like the most wide open. But there is another point that I want to bring up that we probably don't take into effect. Last year, those last two wild card spots that were up for grabs, extremely weak, if you remember. I'm pretty sure the Diamondbacks only got in with 84 wins. And it feels like the last wild card spot this year is probably going to get in with maybe 87, 88 plus, right? And it's just it was really like a three horse race at the end with the at last year with the Diamondbacks, the Giants, and the Cubs. And there might be another, or excuse me, not the Giants, the Marlins and the Cubs. This year,
Crazy.
it's like a seven horse race to get that last wild card spot because there's two really good teams out west who are literally on the Dodgers' heels right now with the Padres and Diamondbacks. The Mets, after just being so bad, came back to life, and they're actually really fun to watch. Like they've been a fun team to watch. And that's including the Braves, who have had a down season, but you can never count them out. And who else am I missing? And then the Central, it's kind of just like this pitter-patter of teams that it's kind of all over the place, but still, you know, they're still technically in it as well. So I would say it's much more competitive than it was last year, where it felt like this team was in the thick of things all throughout July into the last day of September.
Yeah, you have the Phillies who had kind of a skid after the break as well, but they're still at the top of their division with 73 wins. Jeff's exact tweet was, this is shaping up to be the weirdest baseball season in a decade. With 6 weeks left, here are the dozen best records in baseball. He listed them off, the team Ben basically just mentioned, and their best run differentials led by the Yankees with plus 116. The meat of the bone of his tweet was the bottom here, which says the best team in the MLB is on pace for only 95 wins. The last year without a 100-win team, as Ben mentioned, is 2014. Similarly, the last time the top run differential in baseball was less than 231 was also 2014. It's barely half at the moment. All of this to say, a year after a 90-win wildcard team faced an 86-win wildcard team in the World Series, the 2024 World Series looks as up for grabs as it's been in a long time. That could be beneficial for a team like the Chicago Cubs trying to slide in to the playoffs, meaning that they could always get hot, like we always talk about with how that Diamondbacks just got hot last year. But the problem is, so has everybody else and their mother, as you mentioned, Ben. The teams that, with the exception of the Marlins, all those other teams you named are still fighting for those same spots this year. You have the Padres, who are, as you mentioned, super hot out west, who were really not last year. They were the underwhelming team last year, and now all of a sudden they join the Diamondbacks of the world. They join the Braves of the world. They join the potentially the Cubs of the world, the ones that are playing until September 30th.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think the biggest thing is, and in terms of Cubs, because I like how you brought up the Diamondbacks and how they got hot at the end. And it was really when they played the Cubs is when they've really, I mean, we don't really think about that as much, but really the point where the Diamondbacks flipped the switch and managed to go on to be the World Series runner-ups was when they swept the Cubs in Arizona. That's the kind of run the Cubs need because we were sitting here pretty, probably a year ago. Honest to God, we were sitting here pretty, probably a year ago, and we were thinking, who are we going to play in October? Like this time last year, we were so, it felt so comfortable. And you know what? Those teams at the top, like the Diamondbacks, Padres, Braves, not the Braves. I think it's the Mets actually, which is crazy to think the Braves might not make the playoffs this year. But either way, they feel like they might be sitting pretty. All you need to do is go on a nice little run over these next month and a half, this next month and a half, and we could be talking about a whole different wild card situation than what we were, similar to how it was last year. And that's kind of where it opens up with this 16 or these three teams in the wild card now.
One of these teams will have to skid in September because somebody's got to lose, which is what happened to the Cubs last year. And then, and then the benefit of that is when the train starts moving, it potentially doesn't stop. So you have a team like the Diamondbacks, which didn't look like they're going to make the playoffs September 1st, who went all the way to win the National League. So that could be huge for the Cubs, which brings up a good point that I think I talked about in our trade deadline special. But this roster, now that everyone's relatively healthy, excuse me, looks like a team that I'm excited for moving forward. I mean, you got to think about how many of these guys, with the exception of maybe Ian Happ, have had such a down year. I mean, it's really bad. And you look at this roster, and if these guys are playing to half their potential together next year, as they have been for the last month and a half for the most part, this could be totally different. And I hate to just say the whole there's always next year tired thing that you're going to wheel the same team out there. But I think they're making the right tweaks where, like, yeah, they might get hot this year, but like they're doing the quick things here. You were talking today on text about how much you love this Neely decision and how much, I mean, I don't know if you love dropping Hector Neris, but I mean, one thing has to fold for another.
And that's kind of where I wanted to go with next after this, because that was obviously huge news. I mean, the Cubs just cut their closer of this year.
Signed him
And
for this year.
yeah, and it was the right decision. That's kind of what changed the season in a way, because it's still weird because they're not over 500 yet and they haven't really made the run that we want them to. But some of the moves and just the bullpen has just been a phenomenal, man. Like, we really don't think about and take that into account just how good the bullpen is. And I can't wait to see Neely. Like, he is just a beast. Like, he just looks like a beast. He's a good looking dude. He's got a stash and he's 6'8" and can whip the ball at 100 miles per hour. But just going back to that bullpen, like, Tyson Miller has been absolute nails. What a pickup by Jed, just swooping him off waivers when the Mariners decided to part ways with him. I was recording here when they traded for Tyson Miller. Remember that? So Tyson Miller has been awesome. Porter Hodge, which was a name that we mentioned in the preseason as a potential bullpen arm. I'm pretty sure Alex Cohen mentioned him as well when he was still in AAA. He has been phenomenal, and it almost looks like he might be the one taking over the closing role going forward. Who else am I missing, Mikey? I mean, oh, Jorge Lopez, another great pickup. I mean, I think he's given up like two runs in his time as the with the
Yeah,
Cubs. The
we knew that would
bullpen,
happen. We talked about that on this podcast.
right.
The that like that was, I mean, the whole, I knew why he had to leave the Mets, and we get the exit, but like we knew that would happen.
And this is a bullpen that lost their best reliever at the trade deadline in Mark Leiter Jr. And the bullpen has probably been their biggest strength for the last month and a half. So, I mean, that has been just really refreshing to see. And it's kind of like, especially when you think of like pieces like Porter Hodge, I'm pretty sure they have control of Tyson Miller for another year. We're going to see Jack Neely soon here. Like, these are pieces that you're building up for next year to maybe build a really good bullpen. And you can still go out and do more. And I know there's more probably bullpen arms waiting in the minor leagues.
Ben, one thing I've seen a lot from Cubs fans recently, and I know I'm one of them who was never like super, when we traded Christopher Morel, I wasn't all about the whole, I said it on this podcast, like we can't act like we made such a terrible deal. People are really starting to be like, oh shit, like look at Christopher Morel right now. Like he's not playing good baseball. But I wanted to talk about this specifically. Christopher Morel, 7 hits, 125 in his last 15 games. Isak Paredes, 7 hits, 137 in his last 15 games. I don't know. Is it just a wash at this point? What do we need to see from Paredes now moving forward in this next last month of the season? Because we can't hate on morale too hard without turning a blind shoulder to what's going on with his trade target.
Yeah, I've been seeing this discourse on Twitter too. Not it's the Morel stuff's kind of died, honest to God. It really has, in terms of like fan being upset about it. But the Paredes stuff is very interesting to keep an eye on. I think he'll be fine. He was an all-star this year. He's been in the major leagues for 5 years at this point. Like, I feel like there's got to be part of it, like switching, jumping over to new teams. I mean, we saw it with Jamer Candelario last year, how hot he started his tenure with the Cubs, and then all of a sudden it just kind of faded away. He got injured and he just didn't really play well down the stretch at all. But you know, this is a guy that I trust the Cubs scouts and who they are looking at. At times I trust Jed Hoyer. And I still think he made the right move here. Would you love for him to play better? 100%. But I think at the end of the day, it's not a wash because I still think you're getting the better baseball player in Isak Paredes. Not just because I think he brings a better bat, even though he hasn't been that much better than Christopher Morel in terms of hitting. But you know what? You're getting a much better defender at third base, and he's going to lock down the hot corner for the next couple of years for the Cubs. And I am perfectly okay with that. But yeah, you definitely would love to see some more improvement out of him. But it's just got to be different for him. He's played in a dome for the last 4 years of his career, and now he's playing at Wrigley. And there was already talks about what his pull hitting ability work at Wrigley Field and whatnot. So just make adjustments. And I don't know. We'll see. I'm still excited for him. I think they made the right move.
I don't think it's a wash. I think you get, like you said, you get so much more control with Paredes in his contract. I think it's a good deal. We haven't, I mean, he made an error or two early on, but we haven't heard
Yeah.
as many complaints about, I haven't been hearing about third base, which is good because there just should be something that is a little bit more fundamentally defensively sound and such. So I think it'll be fine. I don't think it's a wash by any means, but I've just saw a lot of anti-Morel discourse, and maybe you saw more of the Paredes stuff, but I was like, let's not pretend that we're getting a huge return right now.
100%.
Bet, I let off this episode talking Javi Baez.
Yeah.
Now we're ping-ponging around some points. And yes, it is funny to laugh at Javi Baez last night. 0 for 4, 4 strikeouts. The strikeout to lose the game. Just going fishing on that last strikeout. It's so much better to see that on the opposite side, that's for sure. But it is interesting because this is a guy who we were celebrating him last night, Miguel Amaya. Class move, just like stepped towards the mound, so there was no doubt there was going to be a standing ovation. Like there was all this doubt, like, oh, are they going to clap for him? Miguel Amaya literally just like stopped the game and walked down the middle of the field, so they couldn't play. The catcher's not there, so then they would clap for Javi, and Javi didn't look like he was expecting it, which is, Javi's obviously kind of a showboat sometimes, but he walked up there ready to bat and then finally kind of like gave in and gave his hat off and stuff. So Cubs fans clapped for him last night, as they should have. There's no reason they shouldn't. He actually had been doing a slightly better in Detroit over the last couple games. He had 2 home runs in the last couple games, only 6 on the season, 182 batting average. But I thought for sure he was going to feed off his crowd like he normally did in Chicago back in the day and have a good game last night. Still has two more games to do it, but it is definitely a weird, weird, weird situation with Javi Baez returning to Wrigley Field, looking where the Cubs are now and where he is now as a ball player.
Yeah, I mean, the entire situation with him, I wrote an article about this the other day, and just like, it's a long way to return because it really has, at this point, thinking about where the Cubs have been through the last 3.5 seasons, like, it's crazy to think Javi, and I know you'll be there in a couple of weeks with Rizzo, have not been back yet, and Brian's been back so many times. So, nonetheless, it's such a weird situation because he has really fallen into one of the worst players in baseball. And I don't think people would hold him to that if he wasn't a former superstar that got this massive contract in Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but at the end of the day, he's a legend here. And I'm
Yeah.
so happy that the Cubs gave him his flowers. Like every single player that's came back that has won, that was a part of that World Series team, they have gotten their flowers every single time. I know a lot of them maybe never came back or retired before they had the chance to come back, but nonetheless, it didn't really matter because it was such a cool moment to see. I love Javi, and I wish he didn't have such a fall from grace, but you feel a little better now that they didn't end up extending him to considering where his career turned
Right.
out to. But just a cool moment. And yeah, it's just cool. Like, that the friendly confines will always give their former players that succeeded with the team their flowers, and that's exactly what they did. The video was awesome that they played for him. So he got his own little before the game, then he got a standing ovation at the plate. So just cool stuff all around. I'm happy he got his flowers, but I wish that his career would have obviously worked out a little better, but
Right.
it's not looking that way.
And that's why you want to make sure you give him his moment because, I mean, if that at this point, unless he has a crazy turnaround, that could be the most notable thing of his career that he had a couple great years on the Cubs or a couple good years in the Cubs, including a year where he was part of a world championship. It's just tough because you think about these guys playing against the Cubs for the first time. I think of like John Lester and Kyle Schwarber on the Nationals. I was there for that one as well, and that was just a big, standing ovation section. Kyle Schwarber went deep in that one. Baez coming back last night, and one of the things he's always been made fun of is for his strikeouts. He goes 0 for 4. Rizzo, we haven't seen yet. Hopefully, he's healthy in time. Ryan, we've seen a million times, and he's openly said, I don't really want to do the charade every time, which I get it. He just wants to play ball. And Wilson, who is low-key becoming a Cubs killer every single time we play him, multiple times a year, being our closest rival. It's just like, I don't know if you expected this out of all those guys coming back because you expected more of them to still be on this team, but like I'm okay with it being the way that it is. Like you think about all the guys that we might not have Nico Hoerner under contract for as long, or we might not have even ever went out and got Dansby Swanson if Javi Baez is not batting for the Tigers last night and striking out four
Sure.
times. It's just like a thank you, but I feel better seeing that, knowing the direction of the Cubs. It hasn't been a perfect year, but I feel slightly better knowing that the Cubs have moved on from that. And potentially, whether or not they forecasted that, might have made the right decision.
And it's funny because, like, you look back on it too, especially when everything was going down. And in all reality, I think they made the right decision with
Yes.
everyone other than Kyle Schwarber. Other than Kyle
Oh, yeah.
Schwarber. That was the one that was like, all right. That one sucks. But in terms of that, it's like it's probably the highlight of their years, honestly, at this point, especially for KB. He might not say he might excuse me, he might not say like, oh yeah, I don't really we don't have to do the song and dance every time. But dude, when you're on the IL 5 times a year and probably people in Colorado are booing you because you're on one of the worst contracts in baseball, I guarantee you every time you come back to Wrigley
Yeah.
Field, getting a loud standing ovation's gotta be the best feeling in the world. So, and especially for Baez, who I don't even know, like I have a feeling that he might not be with the Tigers much longer. They'll probably cut ways with him after this season because they have a young shortstop up. He kind of got benched. I don't know if you heard about that, but like they brought up a couple of rookies because they were just kind of like thrown in the towel for this year, and one of them's a shortstop. So he's kind of gotten benched in a certain way,
He
even
doesn't play
though,
every game and he bats in the ninth
right.
spot.
So it's just got to feel good for those guys, and I'm
Yeah.
happy that the that's the best part about Chicago. We are one of the nicest fan bases in the world. And it might not seem like that sometimes based on Twitter, but no matter what, players that did good things for your organization, whether it's the Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, White Sox, Cubs, will always give them respect.
Dude, it's like, don't ever let anyone tell you different. Like, you're totally right, because it's like guys who barely played for the Cubs in a non-World Series year still get respect when they come back to Wrigley. Like, I was saw a game not too long ago, or I didn't, yeah, I was there. It was against the Phillies. And it was Nick Castellanos coming up to bat, and everyone was excited. It wasn't a standing ovation, but like a couple
Sure.
Cubs fans were clapping and stuff. He was there for like a fucking 2 month stretch when they didn't even make the playoffs because they choked so damn hard. Like, he's just a fan favorite. Like, we loved having him because he was the only guy who could hit that stretch. But like, it's just like, I love that. I love the stuff like that. Like, you're never gonna not respect the guys that were there for you. And you're not like, oh, thank you for playing in such a shit stadium. No, it's a beautiful place to be. And I think it's that give and take. Like, the players love playing there if it's a short period of time, and the fans respect you helping put on a good show every day.
100%. I just go back to like Philadelphia. They always boo their former players whenever they
Yes.
come back, besides Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins was like the only one that was ever like, hey, dude, you were one of the biggest reasons we made it to a World Series. We'll give you your
Yeah.
flowers. You put it all on the field. You tore your ACL. Like, that was like, but most players that return to Philly, even if they were fan favorites in Philly, it's like, fuck you. They literally,
Yeah.
they're like, screw you. If you left our town. And then for us, it's like, oh, man. Fuck our GM, fuck this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, but we'll always be, ha we'll, you'll always be a Cub in our heart.
What do I always say? What is my main thing I like to say about random Cubs? Cubs legend blank. Like, Cubs legend Zach McKinstry. Cubs legend like blank with blank. Like, that's like the best way to encapsulate it. Like, somebody like Cubs legend Jamer Candelario. Like, when he comes to bat, like, it's always still like, again, they're not gonna stop the game, but you're not gonna boo that guy. Like, that's for
Yeah.
sure.
The only person that I think gets like a little bit of booze at this point is Wilson, but even when he came back, he still got a standing ovation and he's playing for our arch rival.
He plays it into it though. He loves that. Like, he gets now every time he gets on base against the Cubs, he likes to go like this or whatever. Like, he's just messing around. He's just having fun.
And I don't blame him. He could do whatever he wants.
You mentioned Kyle Schwarber in there a couple days ago. I don't forget if I said this to you. I think I did. But this somebody said Kyle Schwarber's career encapsulated in a single stat line, and it's a picture of the post game in Philly, and it says Kyle Schwarber 1 for 5, home run 28 in parentheses, like his 28th of the year. 4 RBIs, 3 Ks, and win versus Marlins. That's
But
what I thought Javi
he
would
gets
have.
the job done.
Yes,
He's one of the
yes.
best power hitters in baseball.
And one of the replies said, you're missing the one intentional walk of the game. That's gonna that's there's one of those in there.
Did we mention on the podcast before? I don't know if me and you have talked about this, or maybe I said it to my brother. Have you seen the stat about Luis Arraez and Kyle Schwarber?
No.
In the last 3 years, who has the best batting average in baseball? Luis Arraez.
You said it, yeah, Luis
Very
Arraez.
obviously. But Kyle, and who has the worst batting average in baseball the last 3 seasons? Kyle
Is it it's
Schwarber.
it's Schwarbs, yeah, because he like last year it was like Dom was tweeting about it, like the 40 home run, like 200 strikeout season is inevitable or whatever he
Yeah.
always says.
So
Yeah.
Luis Arraez, highest batting average in baseball the last 3 years. Somehow, some way, Kyle Schwarber has been on base more times than Luis Arraez, who has had the worst batting average in
Yes.
baseball. Like, that is the most
Yes.
baseball stat of all time.
I bet
100%.
Schwarber has. I'm not gonna look into it, but I bet Schwarber's close with RBIs too. Like,
Oh, he's
gotta,
way
you know,
over, way over.
yeah, exactly. Like, all right, like that's okay. So this is a random point, not about the Cubs, but about fantasy. So I know we're in the same fantasy league. You're eliminated. I'm tanking right now though. Like, I was hot to start the year, but like, I can't win a game. You beat me last week, and your team's out of it. But anyway, I'm like struggling to encapsulate the one seed now. Anyway, I traded for Luis Arraez like halfway through the year. Excuse me, because I don't know. I thought he's Luis Arraez. Like, I'm like, oh, this guy's gonna get me 2 points every day. That's the problem. He gets me 2 points every day, and then I flip him for Teoscar Hernandez at the trade deadline in fantasy, and Teoscar will go 2 days with one, but then it'll get like 8 or 9 the next day, and I'm like, all right, that's better production for fantasy baseball. So it works the same way.
Yeah. No, it's
It's
nuts.
a
It's
shame.
awesome.
Ben, we look over the rest of this Cubs schedule to wrap this one. We'll be back obviously on the mics before the end of this regular season, for sure. But The one thing people keep discussing, and our friend Zach Kepin, a big friend of the pod, even noted it in a group chat we're both in this morning, like, yeah, the Cubs are hot, but they're beating up on all the American League teams. True, but the one thing people keep noting is the Cubs have such an easy stretch left over. Like, the Cubs could get hot because they're playing nobody the rest of the year, which is not true. They have the Dodgers still, they have the Yankees still, but a lot of nobodies. But that's not anyone's issue. Make the
No.
most of it. They had a terrible, terrible, terribly hard start of the schedule, remember? We talked about
Yes.
this on this podcast. Like, it's the way it works. The teams that are getting the tough teams now started against the Nationals and the White Sox earlier on in the year.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? Who cares? That's just baseball. Like, you play every team. Go out there and make the most against the teams that are bad. That's why the good teams are the good teams. And the Cubs just haven't really had a chance yet to play the really bad teams. I know they've kind of been on a stretch of that, but just make the most of it. That's how you get winning seasons. Like, I this discourse of like weakest schedule and all that, who gives a
Yes.
crap? It
Yeah,
doesn't really
literally.
matter.
It like does it mean
Maybe
any
like a
less?
couple years ago, like it was a little bit of a bigger deal because you were playing your division so much more. And it's like, oh, these guys get the AL, or not the AL Central, because it's actually pretty good. They get the bottom of the AL West for the rest of the season when they could be playing, you know, the teams in the NL East. It's like, no, it doesn't matter anymore. Everybody plays everyone. The winning teams are good because they make the most of beating the bad teams. And that's just kind of how it
Yes.
goes. So who cares? I don't care. If they go on a run and they make the sixth seed and get smoked in the playoffs, I really don't care because at this point, since June, I've kind of been in the mindset that this team's not making the playoffs. But that's just stepping stones into next season. And I know every Cubs fan hates hearing that. It's like, oh, there's always next year. But in all reality, is the rest of the season is just trying to improve so you can bring out a better roster next year.
This isn't college football. It doesn't matter. It's not like you're
Right.
gonna, it's not the Cubs are gonna go, you know, 15 and 10, like 15 and 10 or 15 and 8 or whatever over the last month, and then somehow not get in the playoffs if they're the best or if they're in a wild card spot because the Diamondbacks played better opponents. Like, it's not college football. Like, it's like we opened this episode talking about how the Diamondbacks made the most of their September last year, and I just looked it up. They were playing a couple good teams, a couple bad. They had a regular mixed bag of a schedule. The Diamondbacks made the most of beating their opponents in September and stretched it all the way to a hot streak into the World Series. The Cubs have every spark to start a fire there. If they're playing all these terrible teams in September and they can get hot and move into the playoffs, I'm not saying, oh, get excited. The Cubs are coming back. Here comes the big blue train. No, Ben's right. There's things that need to be done, but I like this team for next year. But like, don't totally count them out going forward if they can find a way with this easy schedule.
Yeah, my biggest thing is like I don't want to like get too in my head and be like, "Oh, we're back," because I've been disappointed too many times. You know what I mean? But if they decide to make a run, I'm all in for it. Would I still expect disappointment based on how the season's gone? Yeah, probably. But if they pleasantly surprise me and make the playoffs, then I'm totally in. I don't care what anyone else says.
A couple other random bulletins. Jordan Wicks potentially building a comeback here for the Cubs was pretty solid earlier on this year. That could be a huge addition for the Cubs, although their pitching staff has looked pretty solid. We've seen a lot of good production from the young Jordan Wicks, so I would think he'd have a spot from day one if should he come back from that oblique injury.
Yeah. The pitching for the most part, like even Assad's kind of gotten it back together. I mean, it's crazy. His ERA is still under a 3.20. I think it's at like 3.15 at this point. Tyone has definitely hit kind of a rough patch since the trade deadline with all the rumors. But even Kyle Hendricks has been solid too. Like, don't hang your head over that. He's been pretty good. And we obviously talk about Steele and Shota. They've just been a pair of aces. One more thing I do want to touch on, Mikey, before we wrap up this episode. Have you seen the rumors?
I
The
don't
into next
think
offseason rumors.
the Cubs are getting Hard Knocks.
Maybe they'll
What?
get that Netflix show.
There's a Netflix Hard Knocks baseball coming out?
No, there's been a camera crew following the Red Sox all season.
I had no idea.
Yeah, the Red Sox are getting a Netflix show.
It's on Netflix. Oh, like it's coming
It's
out
not out
next year.
yet. They're doing a
Oh.
in-season
So
show
it's
about the
like
Red
full swing,
Sox.
kind of like it'll come out after the fact or whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
But Corbin Burnes, ace is wild, question mark.
Oh.
Apparently, I forgot who said it. but one of the trusty in quotes MLB reporters said that the Cubs' number one priority this offseason is looking to be Corbin Burns. So just something to keep in your back pocket. Ace is wild. I would love that.
Sox won some that nothing. I just I saw a text about that. The Sox won 31 wins. Congrats. Anyway, dude, that would be crazy that he knows the coach already. He has a connection. We talked about it during the offseason potentially with Josh Hader. We talked about the council thing. Bring some of your guys from Milwaukee over to the good side. That would be awesome. He's been great this year for the Orioles. Obviously, the Cy Young winner a year ago with the Beer Men. So that'd be awesome. I would love to have Counts do that. One of the things we talked about on this podcast, Ben, in the past is Counts loves doing things his own way with his own dudes. Just like the guys that he can kind of like manage and what else but a Cy Young winner under his coaching. So that'd be huge.
Excuse me. I wouldn't put too much on it right now because we still have a month and a half left of baseball, but there were some murmurs, so I might as well mention them.
All right, well, we will wrap this one up, Ben. Before I do, though, any other points and things about Illinois State this year? What's changed? Did they rename the baseball field after me yet or no?
Not yet, but I heard the pitch might be getting renamed after you. So
Oh, the pitch.
Fernelli Field.
I'll
No,
be
I'm just
back.
kidding.
I'll be back
I
for
know.
soccer. Yeah.
No, it's kind of the same. A lot of construction going on, but it's like on roads and stuff, so nothing too crazy. It just feels good to be back. New
Good.
place. New place is beautiful.
It looks good.
No, I'm no longer in a shoebox that I was in last year, which don't get me wrong, I love my
You
shoebox,
guys had a
but
fun apartment last year too,
I
though.
get the nice big room while my roommates get their little shoeboxes. So
Look at that.
I know it's awesome.
All right, Ben. Go Cubs moving forward. We'll see. What's your guess? Because so okay, we're recording this. This is the guess end of the podcast. We're recording this on Wednesday. It'll come out on Thursday. So Tigers game two will already have happened by then. But with two games left against the Tigers, if Javi Baez is in the starting lineup, how many hits will he have against the Cubs between the next 2 days? We'll both take a guess. I'm saying none.
Oh, he's got to have at
I'm gonna
least
count.
one.
I know. I'm gonna count on because I'm going under because you said two. I'm gonna count on him only playing one of the next 2 days. He would definitely get a pinch hit opportunity, and that's when he's gonna get it though.
Yeah, I feel like it would be the right thing for Hinch to do, just let him play all weekend because they're out
I
of
don't see
it.
why
But,
not. Yeah.
we'll see. We'll see. I'm going two. I'm going
All
two if
right.
he plays all games.
You know what? You're right. It's Javi Baez. I still love Javi Baez. I'll say one. I'm gonna go with the one, and it'll be like either that pinch hit thing I'm talking about, or just like one random one on Sunday or something. So, oh wait, Sunday. What am I talking about? What day of the week is it? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It'd be Friday. My schedule's off my prime right now. I went golfing this morning. I'm all off.
Hey, you're good, bro.
I played terrible golf this morning. Did you play well when you played? You said you played like 2 days ago.
I'm not a good golfer, but I enjoy it, so that's all that
You do.
matters.
Wybrig or Ironwood?
Ironwood.
Ironwood. Okay.
We'll
That's
stomp the grounds.
those who know that one there. But otherwise, if you're not familiar with the golf courses in the Bloomington Normal area, then you have no idea what that meant, and you probably already stopped listening. So thank you and go Cubs.
Go Cubs.